This is the Trade Warriors podcast. I'm Daniel. He's Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics, in particular trade paperbacks, a different one each week, generally volume one.
You got it.
Is that all the things that we say?
Yeah, we should probably like write a script.
We're a comic book club. You know because what? You know what we forget all the time to thank Nathan Moss for the theme song.
Fuck that guy.
No, he's awesome.
No.
So I'm just getting that away right now.
Thanks, Nathan, for this theme song you're about to hear. You just heard.
Yeah, that you should have played it first.
Maybe I should play it right now. Okay. Who knows?
Right there where that pause was.
Okay, yeah.
So I have a question. I've seen on, you know, like Google Podcasts and Spotify, when I go to look at our podcast, it'll have like an E next to it, meaning like explicit.
Yeah.
So is that just for the whole podcast or certain episodes?
I have to click that.
Oh, okay. So there isn't just a person whose job it is to listen to our podcast and look for like.
It's my job to listen to our podcast and listen for curses.
Fuck.
Okay. So now it's explicit. Thanks.
Yeah, dickhead. You're welcome. I'm getting that out of the way for you.
You fuck.
I thought someone was listening, waiting for us to curse to mark it explicit.
That'd be a horrible job. I wouldn't want to do that.
I'd do that.
I wouldn't want to listen to us.
I used to listen to like all of our episodes for some reason. I had a lot of time in the car.
I think, yeah, so I don't have as much time in the car, and I've like had to cut the fat of some of the podcasts I listen to.
Yeah, the ones I'm like, slightly interested in.
I listen to like three now.
It's I just listen to like one. Like, nice. There's no point.
Yeah, honestly.
I can just do things.
That's why I like make myself go do things that are productive outside, because I can listen to podcasts in the car in the meantime.
Yeah, or like doing laundry or dishes.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Anyway, let's do our podcast rather than talking about it.
Okay.
We talk about the news right up front before we get into our book. So let's talk about that. So what you got?
There's a Green Lantern series coming to HBO Max.
Yes. So that was announced a while ago. And I know that it was announced because I tried to screenshot it and send it to you.
A series specifically, not just a property?
Like HBO saying... It was HBO, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember seeing that and screenshotting it. And I remember I tried to send it to you before we even did this podcast.
Oh.
And I accidentally sent it to somebody that doesn't give a shit about comic books or Green Lantern. Like, and they said, okay. Oh, cool. Like
definitely a dad type response.
Yeah, it definitely was. Oh. And I was like, shit. And I just left it. So I know that that's the only reason I know that this has been announced, but it's more defined now.
Okay. Yeah, because they're like, oh, a couple of episodes, who's going to be in it, shit yeah. like that. Who's writing it?
Who'd they say again was going to be in it?
What, like the characters?
Yeah.
Alan Scott, Guy Gardner, Jessica Cruz?
Yep.
That's her name?
Yeah, Jessica Cruz.
Who's Spider-Woman?
That's
Spider-Woman?
Jessica Drew.
Ah!
Yeah.
So close. Yeah, I, if you keep reading different articles about it, they keep saying different...
like lanterns?
Lanterns in it. And so I'm like, all right, I guess we'll see.
Who's writing it again?
I don't know.
All right, well, it's happening.
So far...
Do we know if it's going to be animated?
Live action.
Okay, interesting. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, dude. Or the suits will be animated.
Maybe. Nice.
I thought that looked pretty good.
People hate the Green Lantern. Let's talk about Green Lantern, the movie, real quick.
Let's lay it down.
It's not that bad.
It's not great.
It's not great.
It's not even good.
I would say it's a solid movie.
It's fine.
The villain's not good. I'll say
Sinestro?
That. No. Sinestro's not the villain.
Oh, yeah. He's the villain at the end.
It's
Dormammu.
No, that's Doctor Strange.
Egg-Slax.
It's Parallax, technically.
Oh, right.
Egg-Slax.
Big scary cloud. It's like Galactus from Fantastic Four, too.
But it's like they combined Parallax and this other villain that's basically the MODOK of DC. He's more serious than MODOK, I would say. He's like a guy that like has a really, really big brain, and he has like psychic powers.
Right.
Yeah, and so they mix those two together. I forget his name. I'll have to look it up. But they mix like those two powers together, and it's not that part's not good. But I think that everything else is pretty solid.
Okay.
Like, everything on Oa is pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty solid.
Like, all the training stuff, all that. I think when he's first, like, when he first needs to be Green Lantern and, like, save those people at the party, and he doesn't, like, quite know how to do it, but no, he gets the job done. No, I liked that.
He was in a race car.
Yeah.
And he just drove around.
He's like, okay, cool. I got him in a race car. Now what? Because if he's going to crash. And so he made a track
for it was him to like, go on. It was like and almost like there. I'll give you that.
He can, like, he knows how to use it, but he's not, like, used to it yet and doing things in the most efficient way. And it's just creative. You could do literally whatever you want. Obviously, the easiest thing to do is just catch him in a baseball mitt, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's shit that you'd see all the time.
So
I think in general, it's fine. But people give it too much shit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my stance.
My thing is, like,
Mark Strong is a great Sinestro, too.
Perfect Sinestro.
Yeah.
He's perfect in a lot of things.
He really is.
But, like, the suit itself, they're really upset about it being, like, animated or whatever. But, like,
there
are projections of his imagination that come out of the ring. It's not going to really look like clothes. The suit's
not real.
And it's going to glow. Yeah. And so I'm like, yeah, it'd be, like, animated or whatever.
It's justified to be animated, I would say.
Exactly.
Even if it technically, like, wasn't all the way there, I think they did as good as they probably could have at that time.
Yeah.
And they made the animation part of the suit, and there's, like, light and, like, beams or something, like, going through the suit. I think it works fine.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Anyway.
Good movie. Oh, also, that's when Taika Waititi is in that movie. And then also Blake Lively is in the movie.
And that's how they met.
So
I've heard it a billion times, probably, yeah, from you.
Anyway. All right, what were we talking about? Green Lantern show. Hopefully it's good.
Yeah, we'll see when that comes out.
You got any other news?
Ryan Otley, the former artist of Invincible, who was currently on Amazing Spider-Man, is no longer going to be on that. He's going to be working on a different Marvel project.
It's pretty big.
Pretty big. I mean, he was on, like, every other arc of that book, because I guess he's not as... His shit takes more time.
He doesn't do 12 issues a year, either.
Yeah.
Like, he says he does 8, up to 10, maybe.
Yeah.
A year.
He takes vacations.
Yeah, exactly. And he should. I mean, he's
right.
Totally top tier, so... He's done 20 total issues of Amazing Spider-Man.
Right.
Or he will have done that by Amazing Spider-Man.
By the time he's done.
850. Yeah, which is his last issue.
He only did 20 out of 850?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
yeah.
Sounds about right.
He started on number one.
It's just like it's so distracting and disruptive when, you know, a book comes out week to week or month to month. And it just has one artist, and you get really used to that and really like it, and then just switches, like, almost drastically.
There's been times where I've seen it work well enough, but it's always best when it's just the consistent team. Like Green Lantern right now, it's Grant Morrison and Liam Sharp, and it's going to be that way for the entirety of its 24 issues.
Yeah.
So, and I think that works to its benefit super well.
Yeah, and I'm okay with, like, delays, I guess, for that. So that it is that consistent team, right. But, you know, Marvel might not be okay with that.
I think Amazing Spider-Man was also bi-weekly, so it came out, bi-monthly, so it came out once every 2 months.
Mm.
Or, sorry, twice every month.
Right.
That backwards. But, yeah, so obviously an artist can follow up on that. But
sure.
I look forward to seeing what Ryan Otley does next, because he said it's something that he's excited about, so I wonder what that would be.
I mean, if you're promoting your own stuff, you're probably going to be excited about everything.
Oh, true, I guess.
There was a clip released of the new animated show MODOK.
Oh, I still haven't watched it.
Oh. Do you want to pause and watch it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so I just watched it.
Yeah, I guess there's two clips released, because I saw one that I haven't seen before.
Yeah. I liked one clip better than the other.
Yeah. So it's that, like, robot chicken animation style, like, exactly.
Yeah, basically.
Which threw me off guard, because I thought they were the only ones who did that and could do that. Like, it was almost like it was copyrighted or something. But
yeah,
I thought it was supposed to be a kid's show, but a guy's arm got blew off and there's blood on the wall.
Yeah.
So I guess it's, like, semi-adult.
Who knows? I mean, it's weird and I like it.
I'll watch the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, I'm not, like, stoked on it, but, like, when it comes out, I'll watch it.
Is that Patton Oswalt?
Yeah, as MODOK.
That's pretty funny.
And then Ben Schwartz was in there.
Yeah.
There's, like, pretty notable actors, like voice acting in it. So
I do like the idea of a show based off a villain that's not very good at being a villain.
Yeah. And then it's like comedic.
Yeah. And it's like what kind of what goes on behind the scenes when he's not confronting people like the Avengers and stuff. I think having the, there's probably going to be superhero appearances in that. That'll probably be pretty funny.
Yeah.
So I like it.
So that's be on Disney Plus?
Oh,
Hulu?
Really?
Or no, Hulu.
Yeah, it seems more like a Hulu show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I always get that shit mixed up. I'm like, oh, all the Marvel stuff to Disney Plus, but that probably wouldn't go well.
Probably not.
But anyway, that's cool. When does that come out? Do we know?
I don't know.
Okay.
Who cares?
Ooh, I got some big news. Do you want to go over what you have?
All I have is that they announced a Thunderbolt series by Matthew Rosenberg and Juan Ferreira. No, it's like Ferreira, but if there's a Y before the Ra.
Ferreira.
Okay. and I like the Thunderbolts, so I think that's cool. And I like Matthew Rosenberg and that artist. So that's kind of cool. What do you got? Oh, boy. What's happening?
They're coming out with another season of Dexter.
What?
They're coming out with another season of Dexter.
No, I heard you. I just didn't expect that.
Michael C. Hall, is that his name?
Yeah.
And then the original showrunner teaming up. They're coming back, filming early next year to be released next fall. I'm guessing it's follow-up, the 10-episode season.
Wow.
It just said, like, Dexter Returns. I don't know if that's the name of the show.
That's kind
of
neat.
Yeah, so it was ordered from like Showtime or whatever.
We've both watched the entirety of that show.
Yeah.
And I think it's a pretty sick show. Gets a little less strong, I would say, after like season four, but then I think I do like the last season.
I liked all of it.
I definitely did like all of it, and it's all good, but I think it definitely has like a peak, and then it kind of goes down a little bit, and then it goes back up.
Sure.
For me. But they did have like a comic book series, so maybe when that new season comes out we could do the Dexter comic.
Yeah, there's two, I think.
It's actually by Marvel.
Yeah
which is interesting enough, but that's cool. I didn't know that.
So I'm like, are we gonna get to see lumberjack Dexter?
Yeah.
And then maybe like a father-son reunion. His son's gotta be like 20 by now, right?
The original like plan was to have a follow-up Dexter movie, like a Camino,
but for Dexter, that'd be cool.
But like before Camino came out, like it was meant to be like right after the show ended, it was like, let's start production on this movie.
Okay.
But then it never happened. So it's cool. They're doing the last season.
Yeah. So it's cool to see him in something else. I've only seen him in like two things after.
Like animated, like DC stuff.
Oh yeah. Didn't he play Batman in like that? Gods and Monsters. He was like the bad guy. He's playing like a teenager, but it was like kind of a joke in Gamer. Did you ever see that movie?
I've seen that movie, but I haven't watched it since I first watched it.
Yeah, so I guess he was the villain in that. And he was also the villain in, like...
Game Night,
yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, is that Michael C. Hall?
I think everyone was like, is that Dexter?
Yeah, I'm like, whoa, Dexter's the bad guy.
Yeah.
And then he was in, like, some show where he was, like, Australian or something, and his daughter gets stolen.
I'm sure he's been in stuff.
Yeah, but, like... It's cool to see him back in that.
He's a great actor too.
Yeah, he's awesome.
So
he also had to play like a socially awkward serial killer. So I don't know if that takes like a ton of acting chops, but
that's true. Yeah.
Anyway,
I like him.
I guess like when you have like such a big role like that, it can be hard to like
follow that up.
Yeah, like detach from that. I was thinking about it, like Meredith Grey from like Grey's Anatomy. How can she be in anything else? You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't know what she looks like, so I wouldn't.
But the people that have seen it, I guess.
Yeah, true.
It'd be like, that's just Meredith Grey.
Yeah.
And so.
I mean, I guess you can kind of say that now for, like, Chris Evans, but he's been in other stuff. He did a Knives Out.
Yeah, that was cool. I guess that's true.
He's been in a play.
A play? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, I guess, I mean, I don't know anything about that, but I imagine it would be hard after... How many seasons was that? Was Dexter? Was it like seven?
I thought it was like eight, but I honestly
might be right. Yeah. So, yeah, long running show.
So yeah, I freaked out.
And it's time for another season.
That came out today, and so I like had to control myself not to tell you immediately. I'm like, save it for the pod.
It's really hard living here.
We literally
not just, because it's hard to live here, but it's hard to not talk to you about things.
We just stare at each other and cook.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And when we eat, we just stare at each other. Yeah. And I'm like, I want to tell you something, but I can't. You
can't even ask how their food is.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, that's the end of the news, and let's get into the book that we read this week, which is what, Daniel?
I didn't read any book.
Well, what? Oh, okay, cool. it's called Afterlife with Archie, Book 1, from Roberto Aguirre Sacasa.
Damn, you nailed it.
On the story.
I don't know if that's right, but it sounded right.
And artwork by Francisco Francavilla.
I thought it was Francavilla. Is that...
I don't know for sure, but I've always pronounced it in my head as Francavilla.
Francavilla.
It might be Francavilla.
Maybe. I've just heard someone pronounce it on like a different podcast.
And then lettering by Jack Morelli. And yeah, so this is the horror book set in, or it's the zombie book set in the Archie universe.
Uh-huh.
And God damn it, I was so impressed by this book.
This book's awesome.
It's phenomenal, right?
I loved it.
I was very kind of critical going into it because I don't know much about Archie.
I just thought it was gonna be fun.
Yeah, I thought it was gonna be like a funny book, but it's like legitimately incredible. Like,
yeah,
such a like really really good and like
really solid like zombie book that just happens to be set in Riverdale.
Exactly. Like, and this would be a really good standalone zombie book, I would say.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely.
And like, it's like good because I don't really know much about Archie. I've never read like an Archie book. The only thing I know is that there's Archie, and then there's like Betty and Veronica that like fight over him, and then he's got a buddy named Jughead. That's like as far as I know about Archie.
You don't know about like Sabrina?
No.
The Teenage Witch?
Is that part of Archie?
Yeah.
Is that because I thought that I thought of Sabrina
she's in the beginning?
She is, but I was like, maybe that's something different. I thought of Sabrina Teenage Witch was like a different property entirely.
I think they get more.
I think
that's like one of those spin-off things, but she's actually just a normal character in the show.
I think she's,
or in the book.
Yeah, I think that's the case because there's also a spin-off comic called Vampirella, or
that's not this.
No, sorry, Vampironica.
Oh yeah, yeah. They always have like, I don't know how the Archie continuity works.
Me neither, dude.
Are there reboots?
I think so.
Is there one? It's not. It's like Batman, like where there's different writers and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and I think like it's its own universe, and I think it does reboot just randomly. Like I think Mark Waid did an Archie reboot.
I'd read that.
Which yeah would probably be pretty good and more modern. But then they just throw like the wildest shit into this universe, like this Afterlife with Archie. But they've also done like Predator in Archie.
Yeah,
like together, and I think even Alien in Archie, and there's been like Punisher in Archie.
Yeah, so.
So
it's
like a good standalone book, like just as like a slice of life kind of deal.
Uh-huh.
But then they also throw crazy shit into it, and I love it.
Yeah, I think that's why it's been so popular. It's like probably the most popular slice of life book.
Yeah.
And then like a lot of Archie comic fans aren't like fans of the show just because it's not super true to it. But I think like it's cool that they're still just able to take those characters and make that show, and then it still ends up being popular.
I think so.
It doesn't have to be the same exact spirit.
People that watch it like it, so
yeah,
might as well. I mean, it's a different take on those characters, but that's fine as long as it gets people. I guess as long as people know that like it's the source material is a comic, even if they don't, like I still think that's cool because people eventually figure out like, oh, Riverdale came from a comic, or like iZombie.
I have to tell like literally everybody I know who talks about that show that it's a comic, and they're like, really? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, and then we get some cred because we're like, I was a fan of the shit before you.
Yeah, well, this is the first Archie comic I've ever read.
Yeah, but they don't know that.
But I still call other people stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, you dipshit. Regardless.
But anyway, this book in particular, really, really well. Like, everything works together so well. Like
from the art's fucking dope.
The art is...
The colors... Fucking slap.
The color, dude, the art and colors, both by Francisco, is unbelievable. I hope that's his name. It's spelled like Francesco, but I don't think that would be his name.
Francisco, yeah, just
Francisco.
Francavilla.
Yeah, so, yeah, he's an incredible artist. Have you seen him on anything else? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
No.
Yeah, he did like the secondary, I guess, artist on Hawkeye when David Aja was not on the book.
Ooh, yeah, that's just good.
Yeah, so I know him mainly from that. I didn't even know that this was him, but when I saw it's him, like, I follow him on Twitter. He posts, like, amazing shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, hell yeah. So,
yeah, that was a nice surprise, like, knowing who that is. Have you read anything by, what's his name?
No.
Roberto Aguirre.
But this is really good, and I want to look up his other stuff later.
Yeah.
I just haven't yet. But, yeah. So you want to jump right into it?
Yeah, man.
So, just kind of starting out as, like, a general thing. Like, the whole thing of this book starts with Jughead, who tries to use Sabrina, who, like, knows magic in this context. I don't know if she always knows magic in Archie or what. I didn't even know
she's a witch.
Yeah, but, like, I think it's a spinoff thing, but who cares?
A witch.
Doesn't matter. Like, is she a witch normally?
I don't know.
Normal Archie?
If you know, email in.
I thought, so, like, when I saw Sabrina, I was like, Sabrina Teenage Witch, but I thought I was getting it mixed up with a different property, like Buffy.
Very, like, very common in understanding.
Yeah, but anyway,
So see how she had those aunts that were all witchy? That's how you can make the connection.
Yeah, true. And so Jughead goes to Sabrina because he wants her to resurrect his dog named Hot Dog. And when she tries...
Great name.
She fails because that's not how the rules of this magic works. Like, once the life is out, like, that's it. So she'd be able to, like, heal, but since Hot Dog has already passed away, she's not able to resurrect him with normal magic.
Or, like, her aunts are trying to, like, survive or fix him or whatever.
Right, so Jughead leaves, and then Sabrina feels bad and decides to help him with a more dangerous kind of magic to resurrect Hot Dog. So she does this ritual in the graveyard that Hot Dog is in, and it, like, makes, like, some lightning hit the graveyard that he's in, and Jughead's there, and it's, like, all sad and stuff. And then when Sabrina goes back home after the fact, telling Jughead to, like, wait and see if it works, her family or the other people that are at her house have turned into, like, their witch form, and they begin to punish her by sealing her mouth shut.
They're saying that they sent her somewhere, right?
Who? The other two witches?
Yeah.
Like, she was, so they...
The Nether Realm. Sent her to the Nether Realm.
Oh, so she's, like, gone.
A year in silent reflection and atonement in the Nether Realm.
Oh, okay.
Away from the mortal world, obviously.
Okay. I missed that going
under
back
constant
over.
Supervision.
But that's, like, the idea. It's, like, this is... There's magic in this universe, and it was used on Jughead's dog.
Hot Dog.
But it was, like, sketchy magic. So we haven't seen what the consequences of that are yet, but that's kind of what happens.
Yeah.
So
you probably jump to conclusions.
Just kind of right off the gate, like, I think the coloring in this, you know, it's, like, not going to be, like, a normal coloring. Like, nothing looks normal, I guess. Like, it's very strong orange, like, overtones over, like, the whole thing.
I love this first page. Everything's gray outside, like, some gray tone. And then, like, everything, like, the house and then Jughead himself are orange.
Yeah.
And it's so sick just to display light.
Yeah, awesome. And, like, gives it a spooky vibe, but it's, like, very...
Very spooky vibes.
Very powerful, and it's awesome. Yeah, and the way that the witches are drawn as well, like, they're so cool-looking. Like, I spent a considerable amount of time just looking at them because their fingers are so gross.
Yeah, pretty gross.
So, good stuff there. Right off the gate, you kind of know that this is a very well-drawn book.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the next morning at Riverdale High... There's like the normal Archie comic thing where, like, things going on. So there's a Halloween dance that's going to be happening pretty soon, and Betty and Veronica are fighting over, like, who gets Archie for the dance.
Mm-hmm.
So that typical stuff. And we also find out that Reggie, who's, like, another high school dude, probably a character normally in Archie, is the one responsible for accidentally running Hot Dog over in his car.
Mm-hmm.
And so. We jumped a little bit later. Jughead later that night hears, like, growls from outside of his house and goes up outside to find, like, a really grotesque looking hot dog. Very clearly a zombie.
Zombie dog.
Yeah, zombie dog. And then he actually bites Jughead. And so he gets sick from that. And the next day, Archie goes to see Jughead in his bed, and he's super sick. And Archie offers to skip the dance, but Jughead tells him to go anyway. The zombie dog looks fucking sick, dude.
Ooh, looks vicious.
Yeah, like, he's got blank eyes, which is, like, a general, like, zombie thing, I guess. If you're drawing zombies, they don't have, like, pupils.
Haven't noticed, but makes sense.
It's a thing. It happens in, like, The Walking Dead, but just, like, how
vicious...
Do they
do that in Marvel zombies?
Yes.
Okay.
Very distinctly, yes.
Then I believe you.
We're doing two zombie books in a row. I just realized.
We should do another.
Yeah, we should do a third.
I love zombie
What's
shit.
What's stopping us?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very clear that that Hot Dog is a zombie and probably something that Jughead should not pet. But I also really like the lettering that goes really well with like the zombies in this book.
Oh yeah, whenever they're like, you know, gurring or whatever.
Or like moaning, I guess, or just like,
growling. Like that's the word.
I think the dog in this.
I said gurring.
I think Hot Dog is growling, but the other zombies very distinctly are like moaning. It's something that I noticed. Like the lettering.
Zombie sex.
The lettering like goes across different panels and it's very spooky lettering.
Yeah, it's green.
Yeah.
Very spooky.
But I think it works really well.
Okay. Yeah. So. I agree.
Anyway, it's the dance. During the dance, there's still like Betty versus Veronica stuff kind of happening.
There's like someone's the creature from the Black Lagoon, like in the back. I'm like,
oh, I didn't notice that.
Like, who the fuck would dress up as that?
I know, that's so.
That'd be like $100 mask.
That's like a drama student for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Someone that's like a movie buff.
That's like
there's like a bunch of really good like. This is a good time to like put funny costumes in here. Like, there's a Phantom of the Opera. In there.
Is that funny?
I just think, like, who would do that again? Like,
oh, drama kids.
Yeah.
There's a slutty cat.
Slutty cat. There's, like, a Batman at some point in here. Did you notice?
No.
I'll point it out to you.
Okay.
But they're, like, doing the dance, doing all that, and everybody's having a good time. There's some chaperones at the dance that take a break and are, like, outside. And while they're, like, talking to each other, they see Mr. Jughead Jones off in the distance kind of walking up to the dance. He's kind of in silhouette, so you can't really see what he looks like as a zombie, but he lunges at one of the chaperones named Waldo. I think he might be like the principal of the school.
Yeah, Waldo something.
Yeah, so he like lunges at them and isn't like a part of the dance yet, but
and then like a teacher like Geraldine?
What? Is that the girl teacher that's there?
Yeah. Like, these are some old-ass names.
Yeah.
Miss Grundy. That's her name.
These are old-ass characters, so.
I, like, just want to watch, like, one episode of the show, see if all these characters pop up.
I know, and I'd be like, you're a zombie.
There's a character, Ginger, in this. I was like, is she a ginger? Because she was speaking Spanish, and I looked her up, and she's, like, Hispanic.
There's a bunch of characters in here that I didn't name, because they don't come up again. But, yeah.
That's fair.
The zombie Jughead lunges at Waldo, and then we kind of cut to inside the dance, but someone, like, inside the dance notices Jughead pulls up to the dance and they think that they're announcing that he's there and they praise his super cool zombie costume, but we know as the reader that's not a costume.
He is definitely a zombie.
He's for real a zombie and he looks fucking great. This is like our first time we see like Jughead as a zombie and like his mouth is all fucked up and bloody and looks great and he's like just like his like the way that his body is like oriented and like one shoulder's like super high up and the other one's low and like his fingers are all bloody. Like it's so cool.
Would definitely benefit from the chiropractor appointment.
Yes, for sure.
Could use an adjustment.
Yeah. But some pretty awesome body language. But just kind of about the scene, I like during like the dance scene, there's like some room for fun in this book. Every issue I would say. But during the dance, there's like a few characters that talk about horror movies. Like Halloween and Halloween 2, the movies are like the ones that count, and H2O doesn't. And I thought that was a funny comment.
Yeah, it's like not super meta or anything. It's just like, oh, this is real life.
Yeah, exactly. It makes it feel just kind of more natural, and like what an Archie book probably should. So
yeah.
But anyway, that's the end of issue one.
Issue two kind of cut off weird for me, and I couldn't really figure out what was like the end. Just because like I don't know, yours is just on Comixology, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize that like script writing was like the, hey, new issue.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, this is a long ass first issue.
Yeah, the start. Of,
it's like 50 pages.
The start of every issue has like a quote that's written in like orange writing, and I don't think
it doesn't come up later.
It doesn't. Yeah, the text doesn't come up later, but it kind of gives a general foundation for like the next issue, which I like.
Yeah,
I think it looks cool. So issue two. This whole issue is kind of told through Veronica's experience of what happened at the dance since Zombie Jughead arrived. So we see Ethel, which is Jughead's girlfriend or date. I assume they're dating. She's like excited to see him and impressed with his makeup on his zombie costume. But Jughead's a zombie, so he attacks her and bites her, like, biting, like, chunks out of her shoulder and stuff. But...
Oh, her name's Ethel, dude.
Ethel?
Yeah.
Isn't it Ethel?
No.
All right, Ethel, whatever. These are fucking old names. I don't know how to pronounce them.
I was like, who the fuck's Ethel?
No, so, yeah, his girlfriend comes up and is like, oh, you made it. Great job. And then he bites a chunk out of her because he's a zombie. But what's crazy is that everybody thinks that it's part of their bit as, like, a... as like a Halloween couple.
What is she supposed to be?
She's supposed to be
she's Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah, she's not anything zombie related.
She doesn't get eaten.
But like no one at the dance does anything when Jughead takes a chunk out of her shoulder.
Like Veronica's like laughing.
Yeah, and they're like, oh wow, this is a cool thing that they're doing. But she's actually dying in front of them and no one's doing anything.
Yeah.
And I think that that's such a funny idea because I think it's normal and they think it's like part of what they're doing. But... they yeah. literally just saw someone die.
Like,
like, it's pretty in, dark, but...
Remember in Shaun of the Dead where, like, a zombie shows up in their backyard? They just think he's drunk?
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly the feel of this.
And so, yeah, that's always a good time.
Yeah. And, like, when Jughead, like, bites her, it's, like, a very prominent, like, blood in red, and I just think it looks really cool. Like, no one throughout the course of this book is colored normally. Like, there's typically, like, the orange overtone or, like, the pink, like... kind of palette that he's using.
Yeah, it's very
stylized, I would say.
What's the word? Not
aesthetic.
Like to describe colors when they're like boring almost. Like not damp, like flat.
Muted?
Yeah, they're kind of like muted, flat or muted colors. Yeah. And then like she gets bitten and then it's just this bright red and really like pops off the page, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And so
it pops off.
Pops off the page.
Yeah. And I like this. This page after Ethel
with the hand,
yeah,
dude.
And like she drops her apple, which has a chunk out of it already.
I didn't even think about that. I just like that's a cool page.
It is a great page. It's like,
I didn't think about how it would.
It plays into her costume, as fuck. But she's like bleeding from her like her hand dripping onto the apple on the ground, and it looks dope. Like it's a simple page, but
that'd be a sick cover.
Yeah, exactly.
Why isn't that a cover?
I don't know. So anyway. Veronica then explains, because she's explaining all this to her dad at her house after the fact, but Veronica then explains that Jughead makes eye contact for her and immediately, like, runs after Veronica, but Archie is there to sort of push him off and pin him down with the help of this dude named Moose, which is a funny name for a character.
That's a great name.
Yeah. I don't know.
Imagine being in high school and your nickname's Moose.
That's kind of hard.
That's kind of hard, yeah.
Because
like, mooses are big and strong.
And you can't move them at all. Dude, those things fuck up cars.
Dude, they have you ever seen like, I think it's in like Australia, like the mooses they got there? Or maybe it's Canada.
Those are some big meese.
Some big ass meese. it's like the size of a fucking bus. They're huge. I saw TikToks
like
on
when
it.
People
real.
Accidentally run into moose, they like total their car for sure. Like they're typically more hurt than the moose.
I feel like they die, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, this kid's name is Moose. I don't know if he's normally an Archie. I assume he is.
Probably. I can't imagine they made new characters for this.
True. Yeah, that's probably a good assumption. But yeah, they both pin him down. And then Ethel.
Thank you.
is now turned into a zombie and goes to attack Betty. But she gets saved by Veronica, who like sets her differences aside for a little bit to save her.
Betty saves Veronica.
No.
No?
Because it's like, hold on, let me get to that. So
Betty's the slutty nurse.
Veronica's the one with black hair?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I wrote that down backwards, but I was...
wrong in saying it.
I was wrong in saying it.
Just remember, like, Vampironica, like, vampires have black hair normally, I guess.
And Veronica
has black hair. Yeah.
And Betty is a slut.
Yeah, slutty nurse. I wouldn't say that. I don't... Do you have a favorite from this?
No, I don't care about either of them.
I think I like Veronica more.
I like Veronica because Vampironica is...
Betty's probably right for him.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Who wants someone spoiled like Veronica?
So the reason I like her better is because Vampironica is written and drawn by Greg Smallwood.
Okay.
Do you know that artist?
Yeah.
He's great. Yeah. I haven't read the series. I might after this because this is so... fucking good, and Greg Smallwood is like a legitimately great artist.
So the thing about this book is like this is the first trade and there's four more issues, but they didn't put that in a trade or some deluxe.
Yeah,
so
there's
like
10 issues total.
I want to finish it.
Yeah,
and then But they didn't collect like the second volume for some reason. I feel like
it they didn't.
Yeah, like there's only one.
Oh, that sucks.
Trade. I mean, there might be a physical version of it, but
right, but not on Comixology.
Yeah,
I think it definitely deserves it.
Because I just want to know how it wraps up and like, does everything go back to normal?
There's a lot of like random characters that are thrown in here that I didn't write down because they don't come up again in this volume. But I assume that they are planting seeds for like the rest of the five issues.
Perhaps. Like there's a side thing where like Jughead's parents like attack a diner.
Yeah, exactly.
And not super pertinent, but there's some characters in it.
Exactly. But anyway.
I think those are just to like touch on all the characters like in the Archieverse.
I think so. There's probably fans of each of the characters, so.
Even though everything that really happens is everything happens with Archie.
Yeah,
so
but anyway, Veronica saves Betty from Ethel, who is now a zombie, and like slaps her in the head with a fire extinguisher, which looks like it would have cracked her neck, but she still gets up, and that's when it kind of hits everybody that they're in some fucked up zombie thing. Also, the two chaperones that were outside are now zombies, and they bust in too, so they pull up and they're all zombified. Everything sucks. Archie rounds up a group of the high schoolers and they all escape into the forest to try and find some place to take shelter. And Veronica ends like this issue from the story that she's telling to her dad and reveals that everyone that was in that story, like who left the forest, is now in their house.
Yeah.
And like Archie and it's, and Archie's like, yeah, I decided to lead them here because I try and sneak into your house all the time and I know it's super fortified. So that's why we're here.
Right.
So,
did you say that Archie and Moose put Jughead in the in like a closet or something?
I did not, because like you don't really see them do that. It's just like you see Jughead in some room,
oh, okay,
all trapped in there. But yeah,
for sure.
So that's the end of the second issue. I do like the issue being told through Veronica's perspective, because it like covers like the highlights of it, essentially. I think that works pretty well, because like I wouldn't want to read them going from the forest to, I guess, Veronica's house and
yeah,
like trying to figure that out. Like, I think that
like
the reveal
trip or whatever.
I like the reveal that they're there already.
Yeah, because I'm like, all right. So when he's talk, because it cuts from panels for what's happening to the story that she's telling her dad, and so I'm like, all right, this is some point in the future, and she gets home.
Yeah, so we know that.
So what's how much space is in between these?
Exactly.
And so that was cool for it to wrap up like that.
And we knew that Veronica was safe, but we didn't know who else was at the house at that point as well,
or safe at all. Yeah.
Yeah. And I do like, at the very last page, there's like a campy little like caption box. It's like saying like, up next, one of these is already infected, but which one?
Oh yeah, that's fun. And it has like the OG artwork.
Oh yeah, I guess I didn't notice that, but it's like, yeah, very old school looking artwork to end the issue. Mm-hmm. And I respect it.
Mm-hmm.
So issue 3, we start on some backstory of Veronica. Or Veronica's father.
Do you want
what's
to
his name? Mr. Lodge.
Do you want to try pronouncing his first name?
How's it spelled? I didn't write it down.
Is this fourth panel down? H-I-R-A-M.
Hiram?
It's Hiram.
Hiram?
Yeah.
And then her mom's Hermione?
Yes. I'm both guessing before Harry Potter.
Both H's. Yeah, probably before Harry Potter, yeah. But there's like a backstory of how like Veronica's dad built the mansion or whatever that they're at from the ground up.
Lodge Manor.
Lodge Manor.
Mm.
So is Veronica's last name Lodge?
I guess.
That's what I'd assume.
Veronica Lodge.
Yeah. During this, it also introduces the butler character named Smithers. And I think
it's a great butler name.
That's a perfect butler name. Like, that's so good. And Smithers says that he's... Oh, and so it goes back to the present. And Smithers is like, everything in the house is all secure and there's... like everything's all good, so it's a very fortified house, and Mr. Lodge says that they should stay here at the house and wait this out. And when Mr. Lodge asks if all the kids are accounted for, he finds out that Archie left. And so Archie left because he decided to sneak out of the house through a grate thing that's in the pantry that isn't secured, and
that's how he snuck in.
Yeah, that's
to get,
how
to get some puss.
Exactly. And that leads outside. And he wants to find, like, everybody's parents.
Yeah.
So, during, like, the scene with Smithers and Mr. Lodge, there's, like, they talk about a pandemic and things like that.
And how they need to be quarantined.
Yeah.
And that's like what the president said or something, because they intercepted a radio comm or something.
Yeah. And I'm like, dude, pandemics in America are so predictable because because a lot of pandemic books that we read, like Walking Dead and stuff, they kind of like, they have glimmers of like what actually has been happening during like coronavirus. It's weird.
How so?
Like in The Walking Dead, they were worried about like going and scavenging for like resources in like the grocery store. It was like candy bars and like toilet paper, I think. They actually said that. And then in here, it's like we need to quarantine and there's like this pandemic going on and things like that. So, and there's like, Smithers says that there's sporadic reporting, mostly rumors and speculation relayed through social media, Twittering, and other things. So,
yeah,
that's pretty true too. Like, America's so predictable about this shit.
You think, like, with there being, like, so many stories on this sort of thing, we would not do that? Like, have you ever watched Contagion?
No.
That's a great movie, and it's like they already made a fucking movie about the pandemic.
I wouldn't want to watch it now, to be honest.
It's pretty, it's, like, still a good movie, though.
Okay.
Matt Damon's in it, I think.
He's a good actor.
Yeah, he's good. Lawrence Fishburne's in it.
Nice. He's also a good actor.
Yeah. Gwyneth Paltrow.
She's all right. I'm just kidding. She's a good actor.
She's fine, I guess.
I have no opinion of her.
Yeah, so, pretty good.
Yeah. So a little bit later, Betty and Veronica have like a nice moment where they talk about how terrified they are of like the whole situation and wondering if their family is okay. And so
they go swimming.
To take their mind off, they go swimming and have like an indoor pool area in this house. I'm assuming it's indoors.
Pretty dope. Yeah, there's walls.
Yeah. And so while at the pool, they wait for Moose and Midge to, the couple Moose and Midge to join them. And those two are still in their room. And Moose, who's the boyfriend, is worried that the scratch on Midge's hand will turn her into a zombie. But she assures him that it was just a scratch and doesn't know where it came from and that it's nothing. And tells Moose that she's fine.
She put peroxide on it and I guess it healed a bit.
Yeah. And she was like, I don't even know where I got it. It definitely wasn't from a zombie. Like, it may have been from when you were dragging me out of the dance.
Yeah, like, you could have scratched me.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we kind of get a hint that she knows that it was from a zombie. Because at the end of that scene, they decide to just, like, hug or just, like, chill for a little bit.
Oh, yeah, and then room. She says, I love you. And then he's like, why are you saying that now?
And she's like,
because it makes it seem like they haven't said it before.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, ah, that bitch.
And she's like, no time like the present.
She's
and
about I'm to like, kill Moose.
Yeah, this bitch is about to fuck everything up. So a bit later, both Midge and Moose crash out of the window that is like above the pool. And they crash into the pool where the party's happening to reveal that they are in their zombie form.
Yeah.
And so obviously, that's fucked up. And Smithers sees this on the cameras in the house. So Mr. Lodge gets on like the intercom that goes over the house and tells everybody to get out. And Smithers activates like the pool cover, which traps the two zombies inside.
It's like made out of like titanium or something.
What kind of rich shit is that?
Dude, that's baller shit.
Yeah, like it's like if you need a...
There's a lot of things that rich people have that you don't need. So I think that's just
a
like...
A pool cover inside that's reinforced aluminum?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
You know, for, you know, chlorine and stuff.
Yeah. I also really like the coloring of that whole scene because, like, just that one page, it's, like, the people getting out of the pool are, like, colored in orange.
And then there's, like, a lot of purple and blues on the walls.
Yeah, and there's a lot of blues for, like, yeah. It like, staggers. So it's, like, orange, blue, and I think it looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And they worry about them drowning in there as well, but they're, like, they're zombies. They're probably going to be fine. To be honest,
right, because they don't necessarily need oxygen like we do.
Yeah.
And
then on Archie's end of things, Archie gets out of the sewer to find that the restaurant Pop Tate's is completely on fire. So I guess that might be
important.
It might have been. Is that like Jughead's family's restaurant? He seemed pretty taken back by it, so I don't know how that's important to him.
It's probably just the local joint that people go to.
Yeah, probably. But anyway, the rest of the town is pretty empty while he's like exploring it, and he eventually runs into their mayor, who is now a zombie, and then Archie escapes that to go to his normal house. But when he gets to his house, he's trying to get inside when zombie hot dog comes up and is now growling at him.
Dude, this part fucked me up.
Okay.
Are you shitting me?
This issue four?
I was crying on my couch.
I was too, dude.
Jesus Christ.
I was not expecting this from this book. I was having a good time up to this point. And like this issue was, I was so taken back by how fun, like how fucking good it is.
Mm-hmm.
And like with just like 4 or 5 pages, rips me apart.
Absolutely.
I've never felt so fucking connected to like a character in a comic that I've never read and has all this history, but he does a really good job of like fucking us up. So anyway, this is my favorite issue of this trade for sure.
This is my least favorite. It sucks.
It's both my favorite and least favorite. But there's like a flashback scene with Archie and his family on when they first adopt their like family dog named Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
In this flashback, like Archie and him immediately connect, and even shows like Vegas and Archie playing with Jughead and Hot Dog. And Archie's mom worries about the day that Archie will have to eventually come to terms with the fact that Vegas is going to pass away. And his dad like calms her down, saying that's all part of growing up and stuff. And it's a very nice flashback. But back in the present, we see, so he's trying to get in the house. He's being attacked by Hot Dog. But just before that happens, Vegas, Archie's dog, jumps out and protects Archie. And
jumps out of the window.
Yeah, jumps out of the window just to protect him. And this is like a gripping scene for me because we see like the dog's thoughts represented through captions telling like Archie to like run. And he's like, Archie, master, run. I'll protect you.
And it's like, and yeah, he protects one's him. Like protect and he's like already.
And then he says like, run, I will love you forever. And then before getting bit by Hot Dog.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's such like, he said, thank you, love you forever, but now run, 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 live. Like
live, Archie Master. That fucking, his eyes right his, there. Dude, like he's already been bit, and then his blood on his face, and he's looking back at Archie, like telling him, like, run.
Yeah. Like, and like, the live, like, Archie Master. He was so unconditionally, like, trying to protect him, and it fucks me up, dude.
This one fucks me up. It's like, my life for yours.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, dude.
Stop. I can't. But like,
I need to take a break.
I love the captions in here too, because you can tell it's from like, it's Vegas's thoughts, because all the words are like together.
Yeah.
And so it makes it seem like they're like short phrases, but without any spaces. So you can kind of tell that it's from Vegas.
It's a great storytelling device.
Yeah. I legit teared up. So yeah, dude. It was great. Anyway,
I had to pause. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
I know. Like, imagine if that was Winston.
Right. Dude, don't do that to me. Dude, if Winston became a zombie, I would be a zombie, like, in less than 3 seconds. Because he's so fucking fast, dude, I would not be able to escape.
He'd fucking run up on the wall of your house.
He would yeet himself at me, and I would be dead.
Yeah, very you quickly. Absolutely would. So anyway, Archie makes it into his house, and he finds his mom in, like, a state of shock in one of the rooms. And his dad finds him in that room, and he's in zombie form. Which sucks. And so they run past him and they go into Archie's room to hide and like stay as quiet as possible. So we see the mom under the couch trying to stay quiet. The zombie dad finds Archie's room and like finds Archie's mom under the bed and is about to attack her when Archie comes out from the closet with a bat. And so he gets his dad to like follow him away from his mom and kind of outside of the room. But he has to eventually hit him with a bat, which causes him to tumble down the stairs, and he appears dead, and it's just not enough. Like, his dad's still alive and still a zombie.
Yeah, he clearly breaks his neck.
Yeah, and so we get just another, like, really emotionally brutal page of Archie, like, beating up his own dad repeatedly with a bat, and there's, like, panels of, like, glimpses of memories in the back.
Yeah, like, and after, like, a baseball game, he's on his shoulders and stuff.
Like, the first time he fucking shaved and stuff, meanwhile staggering it with just a bloody bat and, like, his dad dying. And it's, like, this is, like, one of the most impressive pages I've ever seen.
Yeah, this one's dope. That's like, a good, that panel layout, it's, like, 15 like I'm taking, panels.
Yeah, exactly.
That's sick.
I'm taking a stance that this issue is way too heavy for this book.
Definitely.
I'm very taken back by it. But
like, you have the trade in your hands, and just, all the weight is in the third issue. Yeah.
And just, like, the pacing leading up to this point, it's like, he's trying not to kill his dad. He's just trying to, like, lead him away from his mom, who's still alive to protect his mom.
But really the only way is to, like, smash his head.
And then, like, has to hit him. And, like, as he's falling down the stairs, you see all the, like, there's, like, all these panels that are, like, tilted and red of, like, him cracking his neck and like hitting his shit. So it's already like pretty brutal.
Yeah, that's one of the cooler panel layouts of this. Like they're normally pretty simple,
like standard.
Yeah, throughout this book, but that's a cool one.
Yeah,
dude, so, I have a question. So I know you didn't mention these people because it's not really that important.
Yeah,
but it's like these two ginger people. I don't remember what their names are.
I assume they're important later, but I didn't care about them.
They're like brother and sister,
I guess.
And they're like into each other.
Do they try and fuck?
Is this some Lannister shit going on?
Is that Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
So
I guess they're. Yeah, dude. I don't know.
They're in a pandemic, and they're like there's a this the random characters. I'm not sure what they bring to the story. I'm pretty sure it's like planting the seed.
Hold on. Let me read this. Let me read this panel.
Okay.
If it were just the two of us left, and we had to spend the rest of our lives alone in this house, while the rest of the world went to hell. Would you be able to do it? And then he's like, do it in a way. I couldn't imagine anything more perfect. And then it's
dude,
like,
it's fucking gross.
And he's like, growing up and growing old together with no one to bother or judge them. And I'm like, what is this
dude,
book?
There's like
who are these characters?
I have no idea. Like, if these people were in the show, I wouldn't be able to take them seriously at all.
I mean, there's a whole Game of Thrones.
So I didn't pay too much attention to it. I'm going to be honest.
I was
it
like,
freaked me out a little bit.
There wasn't enough for it to be absolutely obvious because I have that question. I'm like, are they fucking? Or are they? Do they want to? I don't know.
And like when she was like, would you? I'm like, that's either sex or like, would you be able to shoot me or something?
Or is, I thought he was like, would you be able to do it? Like just be in this house with me forever?
It could be that.
I'm
too.
Like, okay, let's hope this is that's where this is going.
He's on the writer's on the fence about this. He's walking on thin ice, let's say.
Yeah, I wonder if this is explored more, and I'm scared if it is.
I have no idea.
Anyway.
But anyway, Archie's mom comes up to Archie right after he just beat his dad, and Archie doesn't want her to look, and they're forced to leave when Zombie Vegas comes in, their dog. He's now a zombie.
No way.
Fucked up. And so they end up escaping in a car. Archie breaks down while they're on the road and saying that he's sorry he didn't get there in time and that it won't happen again to anybody else kind of deal. Meanwhile, back at Veronica's manor, lodge, what is it called? A manor?
Manor.
There's
lodge is the last
lodge
name.
Is the name, yeah, okay. Because a lodge is like also like a place that you can go, so it confused me a little bit.
Yeah, like if you're at a ski resort.
But we see a giant horde of zombies just outside the manor. And they're about
and
to
hot
attack.
Dog.
And Hot Dog is there. And Vegas.
Dude,
Jughead? Is he, like, leading them?
Zombie Jughead is petting zombie Hot Dog. And then they,
when? Oh, he is.
Yeah.
That's kind of a nice moment. So it seems like Jughead is, like, the leader.
Yeah, because he, like, points. He's the first one.
Yeah.
Or second one.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Like, the first one infected is, like, the master. Or maybe he just needed somebody to point.
He's the
like,
grand. Well. He's the grandmaster zombie.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like a age kind of thing. I think it's just like, I don't think it really takes any leadership skills
to point.
Yeah. Like, but anyway, yeah, he's like the leader, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, that was a really.
Or he just happens to be at the front. I don't know.
Or like maybe the writer just needed somebody to point up at the house to let us know that they're going to go to the house, and Jughead was the most interesting one.
And they got both. Zombie dogs now.
Yep.
Anyway, what issue is this for?
This is 5, so the last issue.
Oh, really? Damn.
Yep, so this one opens with some background on the butler, Smithers, and how he has always like kind of served the house. It's like it's almost like an Alfred backstory.
Yeah, because Alfred's dad served, I think, the Waynes.
Yeah, exactly. So it's exactly like that. He's been part of the family like this whole time. He even held Veronica before like her dad did when he wasn't there when she got birthed.
Born?
That's
when she
fair.
Was born?
Let's go with that.
I think birthed is a word.
It definitely is a word. And when like Veronica's mom died, he was there. And all the way up to now, he still sees everything that happens in this house. Like a punch between Reggie and some other dude that was in the house. That's not very important to the story. But he does also see when Archie makes it back to the house, he is like breaking down on the shoulder of Betty instead of Veronica, and Veronica witnesses from a door that's like slightly open in the background.
Mm-hmm.
So when Veronica sees that, she goes like cry about it, about Archie going to Betty instead of her, and Smithers is there to say that honestly Archie doesn't deserve you, which is a nice thing, and Veronica's appreciative.
Good butler.
Yeah. So like I think in general, like, I didn't care that much about Smithers, but, like, this writer does a really good job of making me care about, like, some of the minor characters in this.
Yeah.
Like, he spends a lot of time on him.
Yeah, like, not necessarily care about them, but give them something. Like,
give them a part.
Yeah.
Like, I imagine this writer would be really good in, like, an Avengers book.
Yeah.
Like, it would maybe take the focal point of, like, an Iron Man or a Captain America, but all the other Avengers that we know and love would have really good moments like this.
Yeah, what works is, like, that each story is just, like, a page or two, and so it really breaks up the issues really well. And yeah. So, for me, that just having, like, a short attention span that just, like, helps, like, got, like, really... make the book flow a lot better.
Yeah. And so, yeah, Reggie goes back to the pool and hears Zombie Moose and Midge knocking, like, trying to get out of the pool cover thing, and he looks like he's about to let them out, and I think it's because he's, like, in love with Midge as, like, a person, not like a zombie, but maybe still in love with Midge, so he wants to, like, let him out.
What was his name?
Reggie.
All right.
Yeah, he's the one that originally ran over Hot Dog.
Oh, yeah.
And basically caused this whole thing.
Yeah, dude, it's your fault. Jesus.
Does he die? I hope he dies.
Probably. He'll probably die.
But he gets interrupted by the huge horde of zombies that are now trying to break through the big glass to get in. So the group in the house has the chance to, like, rally and figure out what to do next before the zombies break in. And the dad, Mr. Lodge, there wants to stay and have the defenses hold them off while... they stay put with, like, the food that's there and wait for all this to blow over. Like, he's really banking on this to blow over. But Archie knows that that food's not going to last forever, and they need to make an escape before it's too late. And Smithers now steps in and disagrees with the dad, which is pretty uncharacteristic of him because he's always been told to agree with the family of the house.
Yeah.
And he ends up convincing the dad to, try and escape.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a cool moment, too.
Yeah.
And so then, like, the last part of, like, the book is their plan is to, like, go through the same grate in the pantry that Archie does when he left the first time, but now that has, like, zombies in it that are trying to get through. So they form, like, a team of people, and some of them have bows, and some protect, like, Archie's mom who's there, and some of them let off the fireworks that are there at the house because typically that family does, like, the fireworks show on 4th of July or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they light the fireworks there at the manor, it distracts the zombies. And once they do go off, it gives them a chance to escape into the woods. And that's, like, the end of book one.
Yep.
Or the first trade.
Ooh, look at the moon. It's got a skull on it.
Oh, does it? I totally missed it.
Very cool. Let me see.
Wow, dude.
I like how there's this...
There's so many things to, like, look at. Like, it's very...
Look at this. This panel is kind of dumb, I think. Not, like... bashing the artist, but, like, he's like, we had one unfortunate encounter with a straggler, the former Coach Cleats, I believe.
It's a funny
then,
name.
And then his, yeah, Coach Cleats, and then his shirt says Coach Cleats on it. Like, and it. So I'm like, so yeah, it's Coach Cleats.
People are wearing, like, R for Riverdale on their shirt. Like, I'm not wearing a T on my shirt for Tempe, and that's campy, but you didn't think that
did you? Well, Riverdale High, maybe. So maybe.
But Jughead wears an S. What's that about?
I don't know.
I have no idea either.
I'm so, sure it's explained.
Yeah.
I
always thought the R was for, like, Archie. Like,
Archie. Archie.
That's what I thought. I didn't know what it was for, but...
Also, like, the zombies that were in the pantry were actually Betty's parents. I don't know if you picked up on that.
I did not. I was like, okay, cool, there's zombies.
Because right she's there. All, like, torn up about it. But, oh, yeah.
Shit. Nice.
End of book one. This is some good shit. Big fan.
Yeah. And I gotta admit, like, I didn't... Throughout, like, this last issue, the perspective of the waiter, I didn't really... care much for at first, but I kind of get sold on it when he's
the waiter or the butler.
Sorry, the butler.
Okay.
Sorry. Smithers. But I was kind of sold on it when he's used to, like, showcase everything that's happening in the house at the end.
Yeah.
And then, like, his narrative is kind of going through the book. So it works really well, I would say. But yeah, super fucking I was so impressed by this.
I knew I'd like it. But this is way...
I wasn't sure.
Blew away my expectations, honestly.
I was, like, skeptical, but this is, like, one of my favorite books that we've done.
Yeah, this is awesome. This is a great surprise.
Yeah.
Highly recommend.
And what makes it even better
is that there's more.
I thought that there were 6 issues because of how many pages there were, but no, there's, like, 40 pages of Back Matter Matters.
Dude, so much Back Matter for our segment.
What's it called? Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters. Dude, because, like, I thought it was going to be long issues or something, Because, like, it gets to page, like, 120, and then it ends, and I'm like, holy shit.
I was like, oh, my God.
That's, like, basically a whole other issue of Back Matter.
I know. So
it's going to be longer than us describing the book.
Like, it's awesome content, too. Like, everything that I typically like in Back Matter. So it, like, there's a story of, like, how the whole series kind of spawned, which is from a cover that Francisco Francavilla did for Life with Archie. It's, like, a book called Life with Archie.
Huh.
And so that's where they got the name for this book, Afterlife with Archie. It's like a play on words of that, which I was like, I didn't know that. That's pretty fucking cool.
Okay.
And the writer for this picked up that book initially. I don't think they even knew each other, but he said, like, was talking to, like, an Archie editor, and he was saying that he was disappointed that what was on the cover wasn't necessarily what was in the book. Mm-hmm. And then they got the idea for this book to do.
That happens all the time, though.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. Or you mean, like, variants?
Variants, and then just sometimes the cover is just done by someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think in general, like, there's always variants that are, like, meant to be, like, super crazy and, like, out there.
Yeah.
Or like Marvel has done, like, those hip hop variants. Do you remember those?
Yeah. Those are sick.
Yeah. Those are awesome. Or I have a Moon Knight one.
It's like
awesome.
They have like a, like an Alex Ross cover.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy shit, this looks great. And you open it up and it's not him.
Yeah. Or like a Scotty Young cover. It's like supposed to have like a joke on it, but he doesn't do interiors really.
Except for like his own stuff.
Yeah.
These covers are sick.
Dude, they're fucking awesome, dude.
They're like old school. Like they look like what would be in like the 50s or whatever.
And what I like about it is that they talk about like each one. And so, and like they explain that like the series was like sold out across the country, which is something that they weren't expecting.
Oh, cool.
Kind of deal. And so they were given like variants and stuff. So that there's like a little bit of story behind each one. Tim Seeley does some great.
Oh, there's one with Hot Dog and his collar's all bloody.
I know.
Brutal.
But we don't see all of Hot Dog. It's like emphasized on like the chest of Hot Dog. Do you know what book Tim Seeley has done that we've read?
Yes.
Which one?
Did he do Money Shot?
Yes, he's the writer of Money Shot.
Yeah.
He's also an artist. So.
Oh, okay.
That's cool that he got some covers in here. So yeah, we see all the different covers that Francisco Francavilla did, the ones that Tim Seeley did. There's a couple other ones in here that are really good too, but it's for like each issue, which I appreciate because I like seeing all of them.
And it's cool that they're all at like the back rather than in between like the issues like when you're reading.
And I like that they even showed like one of the like comic shop variants that are specific to like the Matt comic shop. So this one, which is super cool, it's from like a comic shop called Phantom Retailers or something.
Okay.
Or Phantom Group, which is a collection of comics retailers. So,
oh, this is a cool Tim Seeley one too, where it's just like a bloody school uniform.
Mm-hmm. So
pretty sick,
pretty awesome. But there's a Vegas cover. The dog, which is very cute. So yeah, really, really good.
These are covers. So sick.
And they all have...
Like, there's a lot of variants. A lot of times, variants, there's, like, some lame ones or whatever, some that just don't make sense. These are all so sick.
Yeah, and what I like about it is that they all follow, like, the same, like, palette. So, it's, like, the very bright orange and then, like, kind of a darker...
It's, like, a blood orange, like, a red orange.
Yeah, and then... So, they all follow that, which is cool, to give it consistency.
Is it just the Francisco stuff?
Yeah, all the Francisco stuff followed that same palette.
Yeah. And you can see that in, like, the interiors as well.
Mm-hmm. And then we also see all of the pencils for the whole series.
What?
and so...
Not there yet.
They post all the pencils from Francesco's pages. And, like, some pages are, like, bigger on each of the pages that they're being shown to us. But it's all there. And I looked at all of the, like, big moments. So when we first saw, like, Jughead as a zombie, we see, like, those pencils. So it's
like these are layouts.
There were layouts, but there's also like a couple pages with like pencils too, or maybe they are all layouts.
Yeah, just kind of like, oh, we'll put a, you know, zombie Jughead right here and
yeah,
stuff like that.
But the writer was talking about like
that's always super
Francesco
fun.
Does his pencils very tight, which mm-hmm. means that like
really loose layouts.
Yeah, loose layouts, but like when he does the actual pencils, there's not a whole lot of difference between the pencils and like when it gets inked.
Yeah.
And I think Francesco did all of it, even the coloring.
So. I'd probably do that too. Just like trying to ink over like something that's kind of messy, like messy pencils.
Sometimes that can be cool, I think, though.
Yeah, that's why
I think... It can be left up to interpretation kind of deal.
And yeah.
Like, but then it's like, is the pencil really doing like that much? But I think they are in general.
Because sometimes like just first example that comes to mind is like Greg Capullo stuff.
Yeah.
And then like...
His stuff's pretty defined.
Yeah, it's like pretty defined, but sometimes it gets like a little messy. And then I'm like, how did... What's his name? What's his
Jonathan name? Glapion? Glapion?
Yeah, he like would ink over that. And
but I think like, even when... Capullo does very like defined stuff. Glapion does a lot of stuff over that. Like when he does the contours to like show shading, I think that works really well.
Like the cross hatching and stuff?
It's not necessarily cross hatching. There's not like a cross to it, but it is like just lines that like show shading. And I think he does that really well. And he does like just like random wrinkles and stuff on the face as well.
Oh, okay.
Which works really well. But yeah, we see all of the. All of the layouts.
Yeah, there's a lot of those.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Like, I would have been just cool with, like, the first issue layouts, but they did literally all of it. So, you can check out your favorite parts.
Yeah.
So, very good Back Matter Matters. And then there's a little hint for what's to come in the next book.
What's the hint?
What does the future hold? Or it's like a little tagline for, like, the next part.
Yeah.
So...
It's just zombies walking and then
anyway.
Archie with a bat.
Yep. So that's Back Matter Matters, and that's the whole book. And goddamn, I'm so happy we read that.
Yeah, dude. Did you come up with that or did I?
I think you did.
All right. You're welcome.
I probably wouldn't have wanted to read it because I don't know anything about Archie, but I was very impressed.
This might be a good stepping stone in that sort of shit. It's got to be good for being around for so long and then also having its own publishing company.
Yeah, and I don't know why I was so like against Archie. Like I knew like people love Archie. And, like, I can see now why, but I think this is, like, a good entry point to Archie, even though there's a bunch of characters that I'll read and I'm like, Moose, is that, like, a for real Archie character? And, like, yeah. It doesn't really matter. Like, you don't need to know that much of who they are. And if you do need to know who somebody is, then this writer, like, knows how to tell you that kind of deal and gives you, like, the general background.
Even though you don't have, like, you know, the whole continuity behind you.
Yeah, exactly. So... I'm down. I'm definitely down for other Archie spinoffs and maybe even a normal Archie book.
Wow.
That would be crazy.
I would do that Mark Waid one. That'd be a fun one to do.
That might be fun. Yeah. So, yeah. Now let's go into our next segment, the pull list, shove it in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
So what did you shove in your box this week?
So I didn't go to the comic shop because I was reading this because I can only go on my lunch.
Yeah.
But I would have gotten, you know, what's that one that's coming out?
Strange Adventures.
And I also would have got Rorschach.
I got both of those things.
Nice. Starting today. There's
plenty of Rorschach, so don't worry about running out.
I'm not worried. He's always like... sick, though.
What's his name?
Drew.
Drew? Yeah, Drew always knows what to order.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of variants and stuff that I didn't realize.
Yeah.
For Rorschach. There wasn't any Mitch ones there. I think those ones were harder to get. Mm-hmm. But I would have gotten the Jorge Fornes one anyway, like the original cover.
For sure.
It's so sick.
It is sick.
But there's also the...
There's the one that like looks like the old Watchmen like covers.
Yeah, it has like the Watchmen border thing on the side. It's drawn by Jay Lee. That's the one.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So... I got the normal Jorge Fornes one. I was going to try and read it before we did this, but then I was still writing down a couple notes for this show. But I'm definitely going to read that this week, for sure.
For sure. Was there anything else that come out that...
I just picked up, besides those two Tom King books, I picked up Green Lantern number 8.
Nice.
And
is that still going well?
Yeah. I haven't read like the last 3 issues because I'm behind on a lot of stuff, but I really do. I think it's such a fresh take on Green Lantern. And sad to see it end, but I think 24 issues is like a really solid run. That's what they planned on doing from the beginning, so.
That's cool that they like kind of stick with that.
Yeah. So, we'll see. But yeah, that's all I picked up.
Did you watch
anything besides The Boys, which we'll talk about?
I watched Hubie Halloween. Yeah, Adam Sandler Halloween movie.
How was that? I'm actually curious.
It's not his worst movie. It's not great.
Is it a better Halloween movie than Hotel Transylvania?
I think people really look on that movie fondly. I didn't love that movie just because it's like it's animated and I don't know, just the things about it I just didn't love. But I don't think this is better than that. It did surprise me. Like there's like a twist in it. I was like, oh shit! I honestly didn't see that coming. There were some jokes that I laughed at, but overall, it's just kind of like another Adam Sandler movie. And if you have an itch for that, this would probably scratch it.
Didn't he just do one on Netflix with like Jennifer Aniston?
Oh, Murder Mystery?
Yeah,
I think that was last year.
Oh.
He has like a.
Is this the last thing he's done since
Uncut Gems?
Yeah,
I think so.
That's cool.
Yeah. Like it's quite a transition for sure, but yeah, it's not. There's definitely a lot of like cringy comic things or comedic things that he does that are in this. That's
fair.
I'm just like, I hate this. But he's doing like that dumb like Adam Sandler voice like the whole time. That's like just his character.
I do kind of miss that a little bit.
It's kind of it. There's like parts where I'm like, oh my god, this is so ridiculous.
Good for him, man.
I swear I watched other things. Oh, I watched this horror movie. It's called 1BR. It stands for One Bedroom.
Cool.
It's on Netflix. It's just like this movie about this girl who's running away from something in her hometown to be like a costume designer. And she finds a room in this like condominium that's like one bedroom. And it ends up being this like crazy ass cult.
Oh,
we're like
nice,
yeah. And so you can kind of—that's not a spoiler. I think it's hinted to in the trailers, but like no one can like leave and stuff. And there's like arranged marriages. It's not like a scary movie, but the concepts are really fucking freaky.
Is it like
because no one wants to be in it originally, but they have you like they do this like torture tactic in order for you just to like obey.
Is it like Midsommar? Like she finds herself in that. It's situation not, and they can't let her leave.
So is that what Midsommar is like?
Have you seen the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that.
So yeah, I think Midsommar is like more culty, like as far as you know, religions involved, I guess.
Yeah.
And just like the shit that they do. But it's like everyone looks very normal. You know what I mean? And so I was like, ah shit, this is kind of something that could happen here, I guess. And it ends, like, pretty well. It's not a great movie. I wouldn't recommend it, but I did watch it.
Nice.
And so I'm proud of me.
That's cool.
What else did I watch? Did I watch anything else?
I watched Atlantis, the Disney movie.
Oh, yeah.
How was that? It's a good movie, honestly.
Okay.
So that's, like, the Halloween costume that me and Sophia are going to do, like, our costumes based on.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be the main guy, Milo, and she's going to be Kida, who's the Atlantean person that's there.
Okay.
And she's like making her costume. I'm just buying some shirts and shit.
Okay.
And like
for sure.
And like round glasses. But I was looking up trivia on that movie. And did you know that Milo is the first main character in a Disney movie to wear glasses?
The blonde guy with like the ponytail?
No. Milo is the one that has like his hair split and he's got round like glasses, played by Michael J. Fox.
Is he really? Yeah. No, I didn't know that. What about Chicken Little? That's not Disney.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is the picture we're going off of for a costume.
So. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good movie, dude. Honestly.
Okay. Ooh, you know what I did watch? I watched that new Guy Ritchie movie, The Gentleman, with
he's got another movie out already.
It came out like this year, end of last year, like early this year.
Is Guy Ritchie the one that did Aladdin?
No, you're thinking of someone else.
No, he absolutely did Aladdin, and he did Snatch.
That's a good movie.
And he did King Arthur, Legend of the Sword.
Oh, yeah, and like Sherlock Holmes and stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Man from U.N.C.L.E. I haven't seen that movie yet.
You haven't seen Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
Mm-mm. I heard it's good.
It's all right. But Gentleman was so fucking good, you need to watch that.
Is that the one based off of the fucking, the Mark Millar comic? Is that Guy Ritchie too?
No.
The Kingsman? Is that the Kingsman sequel?
Oh, does he do Kingsman?
He doesn't do Kingsman. Who does Kingsman?
I don't know. Someone who's good.
Probably. It is Matthew Vaughn.
Okay. Oh, that guy's awesome too.
Yeah.
But no, okay. Guy Ritchie
The Gentleman. So it has what's it about?
It's so he does a lot of like British crime comedies.
Okay.
And that's what this is. It has a fucking stacked cast. Like Matthew McConaughey, okay. Had Colin Farrell.
He's good.
Who else is in this? the dude from King Arthur, I think is Charlie Hunnam or something.
Charlie
like
Hunnam.
A lot of people. So Matthew McConaughey is like basically is the entire weed supplier for like London. And mm-hmm. so like he's trying to get out of the business, and so he's trying to like sell the business. And there's all these people that are like coming after him or trying to like bid on it, and then they're also trying to sabotage his business in order to like lower the price of it, like the value of it.
Okay.
And so but the whole thing is told through this private investigator that's trying to blackmail him, and he's just kind of laying out all the clues that he has and trying to prove why he should like get paid by blackmailing them. And it's a really fucking good movie. Like, you're gonna watch it, be like, shit, I should have watched this sooner.
Cool.
Because I know you're not gonna watch it right away.
No, I don't watch anything right away, really.
This shit's good.
I'm a busy guy.
But no, I was like, oh, I have been looking forward to this movie. I just hadn't gotten around to it.
Is it crucial for me to watch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Out of all the movies that it says 2019, so out of all the movies that have come out recently, this one's crucial.
Okay.
Where
did you watch it on? Is it on a Netflix?
It's on Hulu.
Cool.
And I think HBO Max. But yeah, I've seen many Guy Ritchie movies, and I like the cast, so I was like looking forward to it. And then I was like, I want to watch a good movie. And it just totally blew my expectations away.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. That's all I've done and read / watched.
Same.
Didn't read any comics this week. I was busy. Sorry about it. But let's go to the last segment that we'll have of this
Friday
until the next season.
For the boys.
Yes. It came out early, and it was out the time that we were recording the last episode, but we couldn't have watched it.
So. Yeah.
Season finale of The Boys, and goddamn.
Holy ass.
Holy ass is correct. yeah, it was a really good wrap-up, because by the end of the last... I almost said issue. The end of the last episode, I was like, where do they even go from here?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of really, really good Homelander stuff. I will say, though, I think they should have ended the Homelander stuff at the very, very end when he's giving that interview and it's like panning on his eyes.
Yeah.
I think that would have been a good place to stop it, but they ended up stopping it with him jerking off on a building, which is a funny scene, but I think it would have been better more like thematically to leave it on him like being pissed but putting on a face.
True. Yeah, that was definitely how it ended, is definitely more the spirit of Boys. But yeah, so
for
they're,
sure
they're trying to get they're trying to kidnap the kid. What's his name?
Ryan.
Kidnap Ryan, and then also Becca, and like get away.
How do you feel about Becca dying?
I like that. It's not like great, and I wasn't like, yeah, but like for the sake of someone dying for character development for another person, I'm okay with that. And I don't know how important she would have been
going forward. Yeah.
So I think it was a good spot for that. But then again, it's like, where's all of like Butcher's like motivation now?
Yeah. They did end the season in a way that could have been the last episode almost.
Yeah,
because like everything kind of gets wrapped up where like Homelander is like the same, and like
I guess like every season could technically be that, you know.
No, not last season though. Like last season, you know, like, oh shit, Becca's still alive and the boys are, but like the boys now, like MM's back home. Mm-hmm. And Frenchie and the
Kimiko
and Kimiko, they're like a couple now, and they're cute. I like them together.
I don't think they're a couple. I think they're just real good friends.
They're real good friends, and they're going to go dancing.
Yeah, because dancing's fun.
Yeah, and then...
and then, like, Huey's, like, going to work for, like, a...
That's a cool one, I feel like.
I was like, okay.
Well, the senator is the one that has the superpowers and is blowing people's heads up.
Yeah, that was a cool
and
twist.
And so now he's going to work directly under her. And so...
But he doesn't know that.
He doesn't know it yet, but it will...
But she was like,
be revealed.
She was helpful for, you know, them to getting where they wanted.
Yeah, but I like the idea that Huey wants to stand on his own 2 feet or whatever. So, And there is also the development that there's going to be the boys for the government, which is
what like the OG, boys is. Like concept is, where there was like government funding,
mm-hmm.
which I like.
So we'll see how that goes. I think it'll be good to have the boys in a such in like a setting where they're not hiding.
Yeah,
because we've gotten two seasons of that now, and it's kind of like whatever.
It seemed like it was just the one, like this season. Because they were in hiding
last season.
They were in hiding.
Yeah, they were in like that warehouse area, for like a little bit. It was just like an empty warehouse kind of deal.
I thought that was just where they chilled or whatever.
No, because it used to be. In the beginning, it was at like somebody's house, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
But anyway, I think it'll be good once they do inevitably come back to work for the government. If that's the direction that they're going, I think it'll be good.
Yeah.
I wish we saw more Terror. I thought we were going to see more Terror.
Yeah, I think it was just that one episode.
More Terror.
I like that that Ryan's powers were activated by his mom getting hurt.
Yeah.
I like that he killed Stormfront, essentially. Or not killed her, but like brutally injured her.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Do you think she's dead? Or do you think
she... No, they said she was, like, put in critical condition, which might be true, but she could also be dead. I don't know.
I love just the last... I love that scene with Homelander right after he zapped those people. Well, one, the switcheroo with Butcher was awesome. Because the initial plan was to...
Oh, yeah.
Like, have Ryan get taken by those people while Homelander's distracted, but then he ended up...
Like taking the kid.
Taking the kid.
And then they showed up, and then Homelander came back. And
Homer's like, where's my son?
Yeah.
And then, like, zaps that guy. And then when he leaves that house, he's all, like, covered in blood. Mm-hmm. And then he's still covered in blood when he's, like, breaking down kind of deal, like, in the forest.
That was a cool scene, yeah.
Like, he just looks just like a mess, and it was awesome.
The Stormfront versus, like, all the girls fight was really cool.
Yeah.
What?
It got ruined for me because I was like, someone's going to say girls get it done. And then Frenchie said, girls get it done. And I was like, you don't need it.
I didn't think about that. And then he said, I'm like, okay, yeah.
I just knew it was coming and I could see it from a mile away. And I was like, please, please, please. But I mean, I guess it's fine. Cause like, I guess the initial connotation of girls get it done is like, that's a VOT thing.
It's because there's so many women in like the seven, like three of the seven.
Yeah. And then it ended up being like, when someone says it again, it's in the context where they're all beating up a superhero. So maybe that's like. You flip it on his head, but I just thought it wasn't super clever.
Kimiko got her neck snapped, and I was like, no.
I know. I was like,
you better fucking not.
I was like,
and then she like shit. Can heal. I'm like, thank God.
Dude, how fucked up was the Stormfront trying to make up like white racism?
Yeah.
Like, that was so... Even Homelander was like...
That's he's a, like, eh.
That was like, That's fucked.
And it's called, what did you say? White genocide or something like that.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's not a... Oh.
It's like, you're very open about this.
Yeah.
What
a Nazi ho.
I like how they're still... How Vought was still able to flip everything to be like, oh, we didn't know that she was a Nazi. Yeah. Whatever.
And then I think Homelander had a couple good moments as well when he's like saying kind of his motivation is to like guide Ryan through this.
Yeah,
like being a superhero, and like for a moment, I was like, "Yeah, he's not so bad," you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like,
"I think that was just like what he said to get Ryan on his side, though."
It felt genuine, though.
Sure.
Like I think I can kind of tell when he's trying to like manipulate Ryan,
mm-hmm.
and then because in the beginning of the season, when you'd say it, he would say it like kind of confidently and like Homelander-esque.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was saying like, "I didn't have this, and I want to be this for you," I didn't get that same vibe.
Okay.
So I think he was being genuine and like this is a very hurt man, but it was cool to see. But anyway, I liked it.
Yeah.
Season. I'm excited for the third season, which is confirmed, right?
Yes. That was confirmed, I think, like
before the second season.
Yeah.
Out. Yeah.
Then we have that spinoff thing that might be coming sooner. I don't know. They pushed this out really fast in comparison to like I don't know, other shows. I feel like it took like a year. For the last one to end. So we might get another one next September or whatever.
I hope so.
I do too. I'm pissed because they still don't have Compound B. Maybe there'll be like a bridge where it's like, oh, we've, you know, fucking tamed Compound B to where normal people can just use it for a couple days.
I assume it'll be next season because they're going to be working with the government and like the government's probably...
I assumed it'd be second season.
I said it was going to be third season and I still stand by that. because now they're going to be working for the government probably, and the government probably has some, and they'll be like, do you guys want Compound V?
Well, and they'll be like, sure. Vought has it, not like the government.
I'm sure, but like the government knows about it now, and don't you think that they would want to know what that is?
Perhaps.
So I think it'll be next season, if not definitely fourth season. But
are you fucking kidding me? You're willing to push it off until the fourth season?
Because they didn't like... I'm pretty sure it'll be third season, and I would bet $20 on it.
If it's not in the third season, I'm not watching a fourth.
Are you saying like for Compound V to be in The Boys, like
they for them to use Compound V?
But there's no like,
and I want to see Huey punch a hole through somebody.
Can you imagine if he like really hurt like A-Train?
Yeah, that'd be sick.
That'd be awesome.
It'd be perfect. Yeah, that would probably happen.
And then like,
and just to push that off for like 30 or 24 episodes,
I think it's
and
just,
then get to that, to which something that happened in the first trade.
But they're not going off. That's like a big moment though, because like once you have it, like you have it, and like the superheroes don't seem as scary.
Yeah, but then again, like, their shit like wears off. They don't get superpowers. They're just like invulnerable, they're and like they get stronger. Really strong. Yeah,
like they could probably take Black Noir, but Black Noir is still really skilled.
Yeah, exactly. Which is like,
is he alive? He's still good, right?
Yeah,
I like Black Noir a lot, so hopefully he's better.
Okay,
he's like my favorite of the seven.
Yeah,
so yeah,
we could probably finish The Boys like before next season if we really focus on it.
Yeah,
I don't know if we do it for the
it's pod. Not on sale anymore, so
oh yeah, there's like this Fat Boy sale
on Comixology.
Yeah
we'll see. Anyway, that's The Boys. That's I the liked boys. It a lot.
Yeah, so what are we doing next week?
I have no idea. What are we doing next week?
You want to do Lock and Key?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or sounds good.
Or we can also do 30 Days of Night.
We have two more weeks of this October Fridays, right?
Yes. So.
So I think Lock and Key is like a pinnacle horror comic.
Sure, yeah.
And it has a TV show, so it must be pretty good.
Yeah.
And then we'll brainstorm on a good last one, I guess.
Do you not want to do 30 Days of Night?
We can do 30 Days of Night. Yeah.
I think I remember seeing like a bunch of, I keep Googling like Halloween comics and shit like always comes up. So
30 Days of Night is on there.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
It's cool. The first one that comes up if it's in like alphabetical order. It's the numbers first.
Has an advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm down for those two next 2 weeks.
Okay. And then if something else comes up that seems better, then we can talk about it.
Cool.
So Lock and Key.
Lock and Key next
volume
week.
Volume one.
We will talk about it. But not now, because right now is the end of the show.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Thanks, Nathan Moss.
Yeah, for our theme.
For our theme. We did it twice this time.
Yeah. To make up for last week.
I'm at More Like Nate Thick on Twitter. We are, I should say up front, at Trade Waiters Pod on Twitter and TradeWaitersPod@gmail.com for our email.
Email us in. Give us suggestions. Maybe last spooky book if we get a suggestion. I'm at Real Daniel Alejandro on Instagram, Daniel Alejandro on TikTok.
And that's it.
That's the show.
We'll talk to you at a later time.